Well, for starters, could you walk us through the program of this concert and talk about the musical choices that you've made?
So this week we are playing a all Finnish program, which I think is a very nice theme. Sibelius, of course, but a slightly less known and less played piece, the early Lemminkäinen Suite, or Four Legends, as it's officially called, a very early work written before his first symphony. And it's essentially a programmatic symphony in the model of Berlioz and Liszt. And he was a huge Wagnerian in those times, and he went to Bayreuth to watch some Wagner, and he was enormously inspired. But then he wrote back home to his wife that he's experienced something so great and something like he's never heard and seen before. But then he was planning an opera at the time based on Finnish mythology, but he never composed it, and some material which was planning then ended up in this piece, and he never became an opera composer, and he went in a different direction, and later on in life he tried to kind of deny his Wagnerism in a similar style to Debussy, who of course was very much inspired by Tristan when writing Épée de Mélisande. But Sibelius went in an entirely different direction. But you can still hear, especially in this piece, the influence of Wagner and his father-in-law Liszt, and it's a very operatic symphony, so to say, even though it's called a suite. But it's not really programmatic in the sense that it would be telling a story, but it's more four character pieces. So it's based on the Finnish mythology, the national epic Kalevala. And the main character Lemminkäinen is this sort of young, a little dumb blonde boy who in the first movement goes on an island and chases a lot of girls, and then in the second movement he encounters the mythical swan in Tuonela, the underworld, the realm of the dead in the Finnish mythology. And this is a sort of very kind of upside down Wagnerian Lohengrin Parsifal kind of turned on its head somehow, the beautiful English horn solo. And then he dies when trying to kill the swan, and then the third movement is him in the realm of the dead, and then back home his mother somehow gets the information that her son has died, and she goes then to the realm of the dead and digs him up from the Black River, and then he's somehow alive again. And then in the fourth movement he returns home very loudly, and horses are farting and all sorts of stuff. So that's Sibelius. And in the first part of the concert we will be playing a modern classic, so to say, the Violin Concerto by Esa-Pekka Salonen, who's of course known as the one of the greatest conductors of our time, at least, and composer as well. So I think, at least, and he's very respected in that profession as well. We know him as the long-lasting music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and the Philharmonia Orchestra in London. And he always wanted to be a composer, and that's kind of what he really wanted to do in life. And this is from 2009, so it's already a very well-established piece in the contemporary repertoire. And we have a wonderful young Finnish violinist, Tami Pohjola, good friend of mine, playing it. So it's a very I like this program a lot. It brings me back home. Yeah.
I was going to say that it sounds like home in many
It
senses.
does, although the Salonen Concerto is definitely more California than it is Finnish.
Right now you're in the middle of your 3-year tenure here with the Latvian National Symphony Orchestra. How well have you gotten to know this orchestra and the audiences?
Well, I've spent some time here and I really like Riga. I think it's very cute and cozy and fluffy. People are very sweet and I like this center. I feel at home here and it's always nice to come back, even though there are some things that would need an improvement, for example the concert hall.
What about the orchestra and the audience? How can you talk about that relationship in more detail?
Well, I know some people. Of course, I don't know all the Latvians, but I'm kind of feeling integrated and I'm being taken very good care of always when I'm here and yeah.
And musically?
Musically? How do you feel? I do my job, so I'm telling them to play better. But yeah, this is a comfortable place, let's say, to me.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. You've said in your previous interviews that you feel that your musical home, at least at that point, was the Bremen Philharmonic, Chamber Philharmonic, right? And Bremen, that you feel like they're your family and you feel very much at home there. And I'm wondering how you feel about this tenure here with the Latvian National Symphony Orchestra. What is that to you in your career at the moment? Is that like a trampoline, like a leaping off point?
No, this is my first own orchestra. With the Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie Bremen, I'm a principal guest conductor, so I'm kind of second in line to the great Paavo Järvi. But this is my first own orchestra, so Riga will always be very important to me, naturally. In Bremen, it's just kind of a very peculiar relationship in the sense that I went there when I was so small that I guess they just kind of always want to take care of me in a very specific way. It's also a smaller orchestra, just over 40 players, so I actually know every single one of them very well. And that's something that's harder to achieve with bigger symphony orchestras, and of course I'd like to, but it's not that easy.
How old were you when you went there?
I was for the first time in Bremen when I was 20, so 3 years ago.
Was that one of those COVID concerts that Andris Borg watched online and realized that he really wanted to have you here?
The first time in Bremen I actually didn't conduct even a concert, but just some rehearsals. And then the next summer, I think that's what Andris might have seen. So that was summer of 21.
Right. Well, inevitably, at this time especially, we also have to talk about the world around us when we talk about the music that you play and conduct. And I was wondering whether, and if yes, then how does this time of war in Ukraine, what's going on in Israel and Palestine, and the general feeling about the state of the world around us right now, how does that impact your musical choices and the way that you conduct, the way that you interpret your music?
Well, first of all, of course, the Sibelius Lemminkäinen was written in Finland during the Russian oppression in 1896, which then still continued for 21 years until we were finally independent. But no, I wasn't thinking about that when I made this program. But Sibelius is of course known as the greatest Finnish patriotic figure there is, and rightly so. I do a lot of Shostakovich here also, next time in February, I think. And that will be extra powerful because that's the 11th symphony, which depicts the events of 1905. I've said it before that Shostakovich is the most important thing to be playing nowadays, and I've been doing a lot of it, and there's really nothing more powerful. I'm sadly no expert on Israeli music, but maybe I should dig into it.
But the general mood, and that you probably cannot avoid, does that somehow influence you as a musician when you're there on the stage? Does that somehow change the way that you conduct?
As a musician, probably the answer to that is, well, not right now. I think the sad thing is that it's been going on for such a long time. That doesn't mean that it's suddenly less important, of course. Also, I know many Israeli musicians, and I've had good conversations, and I read news, and of course, I'm bothered by all these kind of things. Ultimately there's not so much I can do as an individual.
No,
but times are difficult.
That's true. I was collecting some information before this interview, I read an interview with you in a Finnish online magazine, I believe, that was translated into English. And this one Finnish journalist called you a high flyer with a cool head. Do you agree with that description?
I have no idea what that was originally.
But anyways, do you agree?
I don't know.
Well, I would think that it is quite a challenge to keep your cool when you have such a career going on and coming at you in such a speed and at such a young age, of course. What is your approach to keeping your head cool? Because it might be quite difficult not to get your nose in the sky.
I know it's early and stuff, but I started preparing it for so early that I am sort of prepared now. Of course, there's so much going on, but I always wanted that, so I can't really complain. And I'm used to it now already. I was used to it already a year ago, and it will just become more and more and more, and of course that's not very healthy, but it's better to do that now than 20 years from now, so maybe then I can have an opera house and actually feel at home somewhere and I don't know, but it's a lot, but I do believe I was made for this, so I'm happy. Of course, there are worse moments in life, but I can't avoid those.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just my impression that it might be quite a lot of pressure psychologically, that everyone's calling you this wunderkind, this high flyer, this he's only 23. You're 23 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's only 23.
Well, last year I was 22, so.
And he's only this and only that, and he's already doing this and that, and I mean, does that bother you that you have to sort of live up to the expectation all the time?
Well, then there are lots of people who hate me, and there's nothing that I can do about that either. No, I don't feel pressure. I just do my thing.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with the loneliness that comes with being an orchestra conductor that has to do a concert in a different country, in a different city almost every week? I know that you've been preparing for that, but still, that's the everyday life that could be quite challenging still.
Yes, that's the most crucial question which I think about every day of my life. I prepared for a very long time, relatively speaking, to the career of a conductor. Prepared music and conducting and all of that, but I did not prepare for being lonely. And there's not so much I can do about that if I continue at this speed, which I also intend to, even though that sometimes makes me feel really bad about myself. And sometimes makes me kind of live in a constant state of Weltschmerz und Lebensangst.
Oh, no.
And Wagnerian Sehnsucht. But I guess people get a lot wiser when they grow older, so I'm looking forward to being old and wise one day.
Are you actually writing your memoirs?
No, that's what some sort of fake news journalists might write sometimes, occasionally. No, it's not a diary. I just write down things that I see and experience. It's not more than that.
And it might...
To call it memoirs is, I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. People, yeah. Some commentators out there have kind of correctly also identified my actual thoughts. I see so many things and hear so many things that I want to remember them. That's why I write down some things. Not everything, of course, I don't remember everything. But I want to kind of be able to remember and relive these sorts of memories that I experience in the early state of life. So, I think it's quite normal to write diary, right?
Of course. Yeah. I was reading that particular article and the journalist was quoting you when you said that they say you have to start early, so I started 6 years ago, and he's actually put that on the title of the article.
Yes, yes, I know what you're referring to.
You didn't quite get the sense of humor that goes on in that particular sentence, but it's a good clickbait, so I had to
That's
ask.
What happens
yeah,
sometimes.
I'm sorry, but that's what comes along also with not just loneliness and dirty clothes that you don't know where to wash. It's also the...
Yeah, that one as well. That's an important
fake
one.
Fake
yeah.
news and,
yeah.
And press following you everywhere. Especially when you're young and pretty and everyone's mind, it's probably, yeah, something you have to deal with as well. But there's one other thing that I wanted to ask, if we still have 5 minutes. You're the latest addition to a very, very long and super impressive list of Finnish orchestra conductors. And I was wondering, could you explain to the Latvian audience that will be listening to this that magic of the school of Finnish orchestral conducting that has been able to produce so many wonderful artists?
Well, there have been many Finnish conductors, and all of them have studied with the same teacher, Jorma Panula, who started as professor in the 70s, and his first class of students included Esa-Pekka Salonen, for example. That's now almost 50 years ago. And his life's work is still going on. He's 93 years old. And I've asked him whether he would like to come to Riga one day. We're still finding out how would that go. But yeah, he's the explanation, and I owe my career to him, and so does everyone else who came before me.
What is his magic?
He doesn't say much, he just curses and and is angry. That's how Finnish people are mostly.
What is your next pit stop in your very fast flying musical life?
What do you mean?
Your next stop in your musical life right now.
Like next concert or?
Yeah.
This is my last concert before Christmas, so.
Yes.
So then I go home, which doesn't happen often. And actually, I still do have New Year's concerts this year. Two of them in Germany. And then next year, even busier than this year. But that's fine, I guess. I'll have to live with my choices.